Good morning, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show. We're the first TV show created featuring people who are blind and visually impaired. And this is our podcast. And today we have Marilyn King from New York, New York. How are you, Marilyn?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I was excited because you were so wonderful. You sent me the three recipes, three of your favorites, and so, you know, I was excited to meet you in person, so to speak.
I was excited also. I really liked the concept of this podcast because it educates people about the people who are blind or visually impaired, and that's great.
Right, right. There are lots of old ideas out there, and we like to dispel all of them. We like to say we are changing the way we see blindness.
Yes.
So how did you come upon our podcast? You won a contest, didn't you?
Yes. I'm in a WhatsApp group, and every Saturday evening, they have a game. And this one particular Saturday, they had the game, and they said that there was going to be a prize. And I won first prize.
Yay!
And yeah. I won first prize, and the first prize was doing the podcast with you.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. That's really nice. So tell us a little bit about your life, Marilyn.
Okay, about my life. Okay, when I was 2 years old, I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And the doctors told my mom, as long as I stay active, then I should be okay. So whatever program she put my sister in, she put me into. So that kept me active. I led a pretty much normal childhood. When I was in the second grade, a child was swinging a hood from his jacket and the zipper hit me in the eye. And after that, I developed cataracts.
Mm.
So I had cataract removals, and then I started having to wear glasses. So again, I had a normal school life. They just sat me in the front of the class so I can see the chalkboard and stuff like that. So I was able to continue on with my education. And maybe in the 1980s, late 1980s, early 1990s, my vision started to change. But I was still able to get around and stuff. I'm currently working with the Department of Homeland Security.
What do you do there, Marilyn?
I am a purchasing assistant.
Ah.
Which means I spend the government's money.
Okay. You're the person we get to know, right?
Yeah. When I first started working there, I did not need any adaptive equipment. Just reading stuff with my glasses was fine. But later mm-hmm. on, maybe towards the end of the 1990s, I had to get adaptive equipment. First, I started out with the ZoomTex, which is a magnifier that goes onto the computer that enlarges the print on the computer. And ZoomTex also has a speech program, but that speech program doesn't read everything. But mm-hmm. I didn't need the speech program at that time.
Right.
And my job also got me what is called a CCTV, which if I'm given handwritten or typed material, I put the paper under the CCTV and that magnifies the print as well. And then maybe towards the early 2000s, I started using JAWS, which is a speech program that goes onto the computer and it reads everything on the computer.
Now, when you're using your JAWS, are you one of those people that can like speed it up and you can understand what they're saying?
No. I know a lot of people that do that, and when they do that, I catch like maybe every 10 words.
I've tried to listen to the, when they have it like really fast. I'm more of a person, has to be a little slower.
Yes.
So you're here, of course, it's Cooking
Right.
Without Looking. How long have you been cooking?
Well, I've cooked all of my life. My eye conditions is glaucoma and uveitis. They say the uveitis is from the arthritis, so I have inflammation in one eye and glaucoma in the other eye. I am not totally blind. I have light perception. I see shadows. I see colors, but I do not see detail, which means basically if somebody is standing in front of me, I can tell that a person is standing there. I may be able to see the colors that they have on because if they have on black or navy blue or brown, that all looks black to me. But I cannot see the details. I cannot tell you what the person looks like.
Have you ever used one of those little, I don't even know what they're called. They're like a machine, and it detects color. So if you're choosing your wardrobe for the day, you can actually take that little machine and put it up, and it tells you what color it is, so you can match your colors.
Yes, it's called a color identifier. But they're not really accurate all the time.
Oh,
So
okay.
I would rather ask somebody, the color, because sometimes the colors is off. They'll say it's orange and it's really purple.
Oh my God. That's more than off. That's just wrong, Marilyn.
Yeah.
We'll call it what it is. It's wrong.
But yeah, I mean, when I had sight, I was cooking. My mom taught me how to cook. And, as my vision decreased, I still cook, but there's certain things that I don't do.
What don't you do?
Frying. I don't
Oh,
fry.
yeah. That can be a little dangerous, can't it?
Yes, and trying to turn stuff over and stuff is frying and no, that doesn't work for me. I know there are some people who are totally blind that still fries, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, you know what I've done is, well, I'm not blind or visually impaired, but I just don't like standing there forever frying something. So
Okay.
I'll fry it to a point where it's like brown, and then I'll put it in the oven at 350, and so you still have the fried taste, but you're not standing above all of that oil.
Before my mom passed away, which she taught me how to oven fry. So if I,
And how do you oven fry? What's your
well,
method?
basically, you prepare the chicken the normal way as if you're gonna fry it, and you put some oil on a cookie sheet, and you put the pieces on the cookie sheet, and you let it cook. But you do like flat pieces like chicken wings. You don't
Oh,
do
yeah.
anything that's, big or bulky. You do flat pieces.
Speaking of which, chicken wings, have you noticed that with the popularity, the popularity of everyone eating chicken wings, how expensive they've gotten?
Yes. Yes.
You can have a lobster for that.
That's true.
But they're a lot of fun to eat, especially like, when sporting events or something's on, they're a lot of
Yes.
fun to eat.
Yes.
So you've given me your three favorite recipes. If you wanted to go through them, tomorrow we're going to be having the Cooking Without Looking recipe of the day, and one of them is your oven stew, like oven beef stew. Tell us a little
Yeah.
bit about that. Is that like a family recipe or something you created?
No. It was a recipe that was given to me from a friend of mine a long time ago. And since my vision has decreased, I like doing like one pot meals or casseroles, 'cause
Sure.
you just take everything, put it in one pot and done. And when the person gave me the oven beef stew, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So that way, I mean, it's still beef stew is still a one pot meal on top of the stove, but you just put this one in the oven and just let it go.
Oh, I know. And the meat, do you think, does the meat turn out better? Does it turn out even softer than putting it just in the pot on top of the stove?
Yes, it's nice and tender.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you share that with our audience, your recipe?
Okay. Well, you prepare the meat, you clean it and season it. And sometimes what some people do, they may brown it a little. I don't usually do that. I just clean it and season it, and I add my cream of mushroom soup. But some people, they like to use cream of celery soup. It gives it a different taste to it. And I would peel my carrots and cut them. I mean, yeah, peel my carrots and cut them up, and peel my potatoes and cut those up, and put it in a baking pan.
Now, I
And
bet there are probably some people, not to interrupt, but there are some people out there going, "Hey, wait a minute. A blind woman or visually impaired peeling potatoes. How do you do that?"
well, I mean, I just peel it, and then after I finish peeling it, I feel the potato to see if there's any skin left on there that I didn't get. And, I just go over it again, because I do
Sure.
everything by touch.
And that's a funny thing for people to understand too. So you take a knife or do you use a peeler? What's easier for you?
A peeler.
And then you feel it after you're done for for any leftover peelings on the potato.
Yes. And then I add 4 cups of water after I put everything into the baking pan, and then I put it in the oven at 250 degrees for 4 hours. And sometimes to give it a more flavor, I may add some tomato paste.
Oh, that's nice. Like a couple of tablespoons of tomato paste.
Yes. And after the 4 hours, it's done. Well, before the 4 hours is complete, maybe 15 minutes before, I'll add either mixed vegetables, like frozen mixed vegetables or frozen corn or something like that. And then I'll make a pot of rice, and that's my meal.
Oh, nice. And that's easy. That's
Yeah.
easy for all of us. And it turns out very nicely. And I like that you have the 250. That's what allows the meat to get so soft, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you use any special cooking things? Like I know sometimes the Instapot has become sort of popular. Have you ever tried that, or do you use the crock pot or?
Yes, I do have a crock pot. I also have the Instapot, but I've never used it. I have to get somebody to show me how to use it. I do have Braille measuring cups and Braille measuring spoons. So those come in handy. And I use my Alexa for a timer.
Oh, that's great. Those are the Alexa in the blind community is really very popular, isn't it? Do you use it for anything else besides being a timer?
Yeah. It tells me, I use it to tell me the time. She tells me the weather. I play games on her. And you can ask her for recipes, too.
I didn't realize that. One of our Cooking Without Looking team members, Ralph Smith, he swears by his Alexa. He's always telling it. Now, can you shut the lights off with an Alexa, or is that something else?
Well, you can do it, but you would need a special device that does it. But, I mean, you can turn off your lights. They now have a microwave that's controlled by Alexa. The newer stoves can be controlled by Alexa as well.
Now, do you have, let's see, the microwave, do you have a talking microwave or is it just a regular microwave?
I have a regular microwave and I had my kids put dots on the settings that I mostly use.
The high marks?
Yeah, the little...
Those little dots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They look like the little candy we used to eat when we were little that was on the piece of paper,
right? Paper. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have high marks, I guess they say you can even use like nail polish or something. And as you say, just on whatever is on the main temperatures that you use.
Mm-hmm. And... maybe in the mid-2000s, I started taking up Braille because prior I used to play cards with my kids and I was no longer able to see the cards anymore. So I got Braille cards. I said, okay, now I got to learn Braille to be able to play with the kids. So I started learning Braille. And
How long did it take you?
It took a while because I was doing it after work and it was only an hour and maybe an hour and 15 minutes or hour and a half class once a week.
Is it difficult to learn?
No, I didn't find it difficult. I'm talking to other blind or visually impaired people that did not learn it at a young age. They say it's difficult for them, but I didn't find it difficult. It's like learning a new language because you start with the ABCs and then you start making words and stuff like that, and they have contractions, so it doesn't take up a lot of space on the paper and stuff like that. And I also started using the Braille at work for my file folders and start labeling stuff like that. And I also label my seasoning.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Now, for our people for our listeners from New York, are there special programs for employers when they're employing a blind person, like tax deductions for hiring a blind person? I know in Florida it's like about $3,000. Is there such a thing in New York?
Probably. I'm not exactly sure. But I do know that it is a tax break. What the tax break is, I have no idea.
Ah, okay. Okay. Because we're always trying to get our people who are blind employment, and sometimes, and that's part of what the show is too, just so people understand blind people and that it's not difficult to hire a blind person and you even get rewarded for it.
Right. And also, well, see, what a lot of employers think is if they hire a blind person, they have to buy them all this adaptive equipment and stuff like that. But they can use that as well when they do the tax write-off as well. They had to purchase equipment for the blind or visually impaired person because the equipment is very costly.
Yeah, it's thousands of dollars, several thousand dollars, which doesn't make it easy for just a regular person to purchase it.
Right.
Do
Like
you
the
guys have like a
CCTV, I talked about, the black and white one may go for 2,500. But if you
Wow.
want the color one, that's more expensive. And then now they have the color one with a detachable device that can make it handheld.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's a
Yeah, and
load
that's like
off.
about $5,000.
Oh my God. What I was gonna say was, I know that in Florida that they have a program, a Division of Blind Services in Florida. If you have employment, they actually purchase the equipment for your employer. Do you guys have that in New York?
Well, we have the Commission for the Blind here, and when you first start, go on your interview and you do get a job, the commission does buy your initial equipment. But after you've been gainfully employed for a certain amount of time, then your case is closed, and a lot of time the employer will buy the equipment.
I see. I see. Well, getting back to food, you gave me a couple of other recipes, the tuna casserole, which is one of my favorites. Did you want to go over that one?
Well, the tuna casserole one, again, that's another one pot meal, but you have to do it on top of the stove first. You prepare the mixture, the tuna. Okay, you use tuna. Again, you use the cream of mushroom soup. Or you would, like I said, what a lot of people will do, they'll use the cream of celery soup to give it a different taste.
Sure.
And you put that on top of the stove, and then you add flour to make it a little thicker, and the tuna, and you cook that on top of the stove. And in a separate pot, you make the noodles. And then, once everything is prepared, you put it all together, and then you put it in a casserole dish, and you put it in the oven. And I think I forgot one of the ingredients. Oh, when you're mixing, I forgot the
Cheese?
cheese. Yes.
Oh,
How would
cheese. You
I
put
forget
cheese in
that?
yours.
Yes. Together, and you put it in a casserole dish, and you put it in the oven for at 350 degrees for 30 minutes, and done.
Done. You've got a meal for a day or two, right?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned your children. Do they, I don't know if you're by yourself or the children live nearby. Are they ever afraid about you using the oven or the stove?
No, they're not afraid because, growing up, they've always seen me cook. And even when neither one of them are home right now, so whenever they want to make something, they always call me, "Mommy, how'd you do this? Mommy, how do you make this?"
That's great. That's great. They want to have it just the way mom made it.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. So, let me know what do you belong to any organizations with the blind or anything you'd like to promote here today?
Well, the only organization I do go to is Visions at Sellis Manor. And that's here in the city, and that's where they have a lot of the different programs for the blind and the visually impaired. They mostly have day classes, but I was going to the evening classes before the COVID-19. Like I said, I was taking Braille there, and I also was taking a crochet class.
Oh, nice. Have you crocheted before you were taking your lessons?
Well, when I was younger, my mom used to crochet and I had learned, but then I put it down for a while. And when I started going there, I took it up again.
It's very relaxing. I think you and another one of my friends mentioned that she started crocheting. I did that too when I was younger. It's actually very relaxing, isn't it?
Yes.
Have you made anything yet?
I made well, the as Visions at Sellers Manor, a lot of the projects that we work on is donated to different organizations. And I made a toddler sweater
Oh.
for women that were living in shelters.
Yes.
I made mittens. I made a teddy bear, and I made a stuffed puppy.
Oh.
And I haven't done, I've started blankets. I never finished them.
Well, they get a little tiring, right? Because you're just like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's straight. It's not as I don't know, challenging. Is that what?
Well, yeah, but I had started a blanket for a friend of mine that was expecting, and I never finished it. The child is like 8 now.
I guess you put it down for a while.
Yeah. But
You'll
I
be
mean,
able to
it
give it to their child.
is. Yeah. I mean, it is relaxing and learning the different stitches and seeing how it comes out is being creative.
Well, Marilyn, I want to thank you for being on our Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast today. I really enjoyed it. And if anyone wants to reach out to you, is there a way that you'd like them to reach out to you?
They can reach out to me by email.
Okay, and what's that?
My email address is kinggibson1624@gmail.com. And that's spelled KINGGIBSON1624@gmail.com.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Marilyn. We really enjoyed it, and we'll be putting this out today on all the social media. And again,
Okay.
this was Renee Rentmeester, the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. And if you want to reach out to me, it's our website is www.cookingwithoutlooking.wordpress.com, excuse me, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. Or you can call me directly at 305-200-9104. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you, you too.
Okay.